Congregation of Jesus Christ, please stand to hear the Word of God. Reading this morning from Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 3, starting at verse 1. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Thus far, the word of God. May he bless it to us all. You may be seated. Here we are at the end of another year, the end of 2017. What an action-packed year it has been. Where did it all go so incredibly fast? The end of the year is a good time, always, to look back and remember all of God's blessings and to be thankful. And I hope that you have been greatly blessed in the Lord in 2017 and will be even more so as the new year unfolds. The end of the year is also a good time to look back and do some self-assessment of your spiritual life. We can ask ourselves questions like these. Am I growing in the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Am I gaining victory over the works of the flesh? Do people see God and Jesus in and through me? How am I doing in the spiritual warfare against temptations that arise in the midst of the persistent problems that occur in our work, our health, our relationships? Am I overcoming old bad habits and developing new good habits? Or am I developing new bad habits? I don't know about you, but as I apply these questions to myself, my response is to pray the prayer of the tax collector in Luke 18:13, God be merciful to me, the sinner. And I see at the end of the year that I need Jesus more than ever before. And I see that the way the Bible describes salvation as an already accomplished reality and as a present ongoing reality and as a reality that will be fully perfected in the future when Jesus comes again is a very much needed and helpful way of looking at things in my daily life. That is to say, God has saved us, He is saving us, and He will save us. When I'm able to take a hold of this, it gives me the encouragement that I need to do such self-evaluation. It gives me the confidence and the grace of God to be able to face my shortcomings honestly and to keep pressing forward in Christ. Well, this morning's scripture is one of the many passages in the Bible that teach this truth, that salvation partakes of an already not yet character. We are already saved in Christ, and yet we are not yet perfected and won't be until the Lord comes again. It's one of the passages among many passages that teach this, and it's a good way to approach, I think, self-evaluation at the end of the year and to think through just the beginning of how we want to proceed in the new year. So I hope this will be an encouragement to you. I call your attention then to Colossians 3, 1 to 4. Now, in this letter, Paul is helping the Colossian believers deal with a false teaching that has arisen in their area. And a lot could be said about that, but essentially it's the idea that while it's good to have Christ, they need something more. But Paul's main point throughout this letter is that if you've got Christ, you've got it all. You've got all the fullness of God and all the fullness of blessing embodied in Jesus Christ. You are complete in Him. It's Christ plus nothing. Jesus plus nothing is everything. That's the title of a book that was written a few years ago. Good book, actually. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. And in this passage, in verse 1, he begins by assuring them of what is already true and real concerning them. That is, that they have been, past tense, raised with Christ. So look at verse 1. He says, if you have then been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Now that word if in our English Bible should be taken in the sense of since. That is, if I said to you, if you're cold, come in here where it's warm. That would be another way of saying, since you're cold, come in here where it's warm. Paul clearly understands them, and it's his point that they have been raised with Christ, because he goes on to exhort them based on the reality that they have been raised with Christ. And he begins there of our having been raised with Christ, because that's the starting point of our life in Christ. We were, as he says in his letter to the Ephesians, spiritually dead in our sins. Everyone is in either of two conditions. They are either spiritually dead in sin, or they are alive in Christ. And we all start out spiritually dead in sin. That's why sin comes so naturally. No one ever had to teach me how to sin. It just flowed out of my being dead in sin, spiritually dead in sin. That's why we need Jesus, who was not born in sin. That's the heart of the celebration of Christmas, that the eternal Son of God became flesh, became Son of Man through the miraculous conception by the Holy Spirit in the womb of Mary. So that in Jesus we have a new Adam, who, like the first Adam, was sinless, who, unlike the first Adam, remained sinless, so that he could be our Savior. He alone, Jesus, the second Adam, the last Adam, lived a life of perfect love toward God and toward his fellow men. And he did this for us in our place. And then he also took our place under God's just judgment, because he is a God of love. He is a God of just judgment. Christ took our place under his just judgment for our sins. The righteous in place of the unrighteous, so that instead of our being judged and condemned for our sins, we are forgiven through the blood of Jesus and also justified by his righteousness, being counted righteous with his own righteousness. And when God raised Jesus from the dead, he also raised us to new life as well. Paul describes that raising with Jesus elsewhere in Romans chapter 6 with these words. He says, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. United to him in baptism by the Spirit, we died with him, and we were raised to newness of life with him. So that's the starting point for every believer in Christ. And here I'd like to say, if any of you have never put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, please do so today before you leave this place. Now, there's something important here that isn't clear in our English translations like it is in the original Greek. And that is that throughout this passage, these four verses, the word you is in the plural. So Paul says that they have been raised individually, but not alone. They have been raised together. You, that is, you all, you plural, have been raised with Christ, Paul says. And he describes that elsewhere. For example, in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 and 13, where he says, just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body. Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. So when you think of Christ as having died for your sins, and you're having been raised with him, you should also think of Christ having died for your fellow believers' sins, and your fellow believers having been raised with Christ. That is to say, that we share and experience the reality of salvation in Christ together, not alone. That's what church means. It's not just a place or a meeting that we go to and then leave and go do something else. It's our shared salvation and life together. We're saved individually, but not alone, as part of a body. That's especially important in our day because many believers today have a mistaken notion that their salvation is just their personal private thing all by themselves. And when I talk to believers over the course of a week, when I talk to people about the Lord, about half the time people tell me they know the Lord. But very frequently when I say, all right, that's great that you know the Lord. Well, where do you worship? What congregation are you a part of? Very frequently they'll say, well, I don't go any place. And oftentimes as we talk, they express one way or another that they're not really experiencing all that they thought salvation would be. And I think part of the reason for that is they don't understand that salvation is a body thing. It's individual, but not alone. It's together with the body of Christ. When people die and go to heaven, they're not alone. They join a vast, innumerable host of God's elect in heaven. It's an ongoing 24/7 glorious worship service, along with whatever else of the glorious things that people are experiencing in heaven. And we get called into that at the end of our life. We were talking about that in the Sunday school class this morning. That the Bible starts with a beginning and it ends with a new beginning with the Lord. And that when we leave this life, that's not the end. That's the definitive new beginning, everlasting life in Jesus Christ, together with him and with all of his people. Salvation is a together thing, but not only in heaven, but also here on earth. You can think about it this way. Jesus said that the way people will know that we are really his disciples is by our loving one another as Christ loved us. And that's not something you can do by yourself, but only as we participate together in Christ's love for us, as we love each other as Christ has loved us. So then, how do you live this new resurrection life in Christ? Paul affirms plainly, you have been raised with Christ. You individually, but together with all other believers, have been raised with Christ. How do you live that out? Well, he goes on to say that you do so by focusing your mind on Christ, who is at the right hand of God. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Now, is Paul here advocating some kind of escapism, meditating on heaven in order to avoid the troubles of life on earth? Not at all. Rather, he's explaining how we are to live as having been raised with Christ while we are still in this world with all its troubles. And we do so by focusing on Christ. And Christ is in heaven at the right hand of God. Now remember, Christ still is clothed with his humanity at the right hand of the Father. So Christ in heaven, how does he help us here on earth? Well, think about it. When Christ was on earth, people could only have access to him where he was at a particular time and a particular place. If he was in Jerusalem, you couldn't have access to him if you were still in Galilee. But now that Christ has ascended, now that he is at the right hand of the Father enthroned, we all have access to him as our great high priest by the Spirit. And we are invited and welcomed by our Lord Jesus Christ, still clothed with his humanity, still as the divine Son, we are welcomed into all the communion and fellowship and all the fullness that he experiences with God in heaven. We are welcomed into that right here and now while we were still on earth. So when I look at my life on earth, I see that I still have many struggles and I still have many temptations and I often fail. That is our common experience as believers in Jesus. And all of those experiences of struggle and failure serve or should serve to remind us that we need Jesus. Just as we needed him on the cross, we need him as our man in heaven at the right hand of the Father. And that just as we are forgiven through the death of Jesus, so we are loved and welcomed and embraced by God. Just as, in the very same way, and to the very same extent as Jesus is in heaven. And that means that we can keep going because we are loved by God just as Jesus is. And because we are sure that when Christ, as Paul goes on to say, who is our life now, appears in glory, we shall also appear with him in glory. And that's the last thing I want to leave you with. When Paul says Christ is our life, he corrects a notion that is very easy for us to have wrong in our minds. It's very easy for us to think, well, I have now this new life that has been given to me. I have been raised together with Christ, and so I am living my life with the help of Christ and with the help of the Holy Spirit. And so I need help in this life. So I call upon the Lord. Lord, help me. Well, that's great, but it's actually even better than that. The life that we now live, since we have been raised with Christ, is Christ's life. We share and we participate in the very life of Christ. That's why Paul goes on to say that Christ is our life right here and now. And so our prayer should be, Lord, open me up to all the fullness in this new year and in the years to come, however so many as you will give to me, to all the fullness that I have in the new life in Christ, such that Christ's own life as the incarnate Son is now my life, and I am given the gift of sharing and participating in the life of Christ himself, who is at the right hand of the Father. Let's respond to these applications of the Word this morning by offering ourselves and our gifts to the Lord in thanksgiving.